Do you know why Jesus blesses us? So we become a blessing. So we need his blessing to be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we are hungry and we are thirsty for you, the living God. Only you satisfy us. God, we just thank you that you have given us access into this grace in which we stand. Lord, we know, Lord, it's not by might nor power, but by your Spirit. And that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, you are our light and our salvation. Hallelujah. We don't have anything to fear. Whom shall we fear? For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. You know, every time we enter into God's presence in prayer or worship, let us remember that the privilege was bought for us at a tremendous cost. Remember, it was the highest cost, the blood of our Savior, to make it possible for us to enjoy even what we enjoy today as we come together and we gather in the Lord being with us and this access we have into the very throne of our Father. In Hebrews 10 and verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Having what? Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It was because of Jesus that we've been allowed this access into the throne. Verse 20 says, "The way to eternal life was opened through the veil." Now, what was the veil? The veil was that thick curtain, about 6 inches, some say, that was between the holy place and the most holy place, where the very Shekinah glory of God dwelt on that, in that earthly tabernacle. Amen. And only once a year could the high priest go, but never without blood, amen, and never without being ceremonially clean. If there was any defect, if he didn't do everything just so, well, they had a rope tied to his ankle with bells, amen. And so if the bell stopped ringing, they knew they had to drag a corpse out because he tried to come into the holy presence of God with sin. And sin cannot stand in the presence of holiness. Amen. And so therefore, God had made provision for you and I through the blood of his own Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in our place on that cross, to pay the price that we deserved to pay so that we could be forgiven. That means the debt of sin canceled in our life, never to be held against us again. Amen. So we could go free. Hallelujah. In him. Hallelujah. And we don't have to dread. Amen. The day when we see Jesus, because his blood avails for us. His blood took care of the sin problem. Amen. And because of what Jesus did, he was that veil. Amen. His body was that curtain, if you will, that veil that was rent in two, amen, from top to bottom. He was broken for us so that the way into the most holy place has now been opened to us, and we have access by that same blood, amen, with confidence, with boldness, into the grace of God in which we stand. It's not by my own ability to be faithful, but my faith in God's faithfulness that releases God's ability in me to stand strong. Because my confidence is not in me, but in Christ alone. Jesus said, just have faith in God. Get your faith off you and onto him. Trust in him. He's the only one that can carry you and keep you. Amen. The veil is this representative, of course, of the body of our Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, only the high priest could go behind that veil. None of the people were allowed to go in there. But praise God, because Jesus entered in before us with his own blood and made provision for us, amen, through his sacrifice, we can with confidence come. You know, the devil wants to mess with your head, you know, and tell you that you're no good and you're sinful and you're this and you're that, and that God's just not going to hear you. So there's no point in praying because God doesn't hear your prayers. Have you ever heard that lie before? How many know that God does hear your prayers? Amen. And if there's sin in your life, all you need to do is confess it and renounce it. Amen. And get on it. Get on with it. Right. Don't allow the devil to beat you down. Don't allow the devil to remind you of your past. Amen. And keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. Because what he's after is your confidence in God. He's trying to break that faith. Amen. So that you won't receive anything from God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. So if you want to receive from God, you must come with a confident assurance, not in your own performance, but in what Jesus did on my behalf. My faith is in the blood of Jesus and not in myself. And so I thank you, Lord, for the blood. I thank you, Lord, that you were broken that I might be healed. Amen. And I can now with confidence come before your throne of grace. Hallelujah. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's not of us. The devil wants to get you into the trap of performance and trying to earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your stairway to heaven. Because the price has already been paid in full through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to live in the freedom that he has purchased for us. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Not in myself, but in Jesus. Once again, it's not my faith in my ability to be faithful, but in the faithfulness of the Lord and in his promises. We today in the New Testament are children of promise. We live by the faithful promises of our Father. Amen. That he has given us access, that he has taken care of the sin problem. Hallelujah. And we can just come before him. Hallelujah. With full confidence today and believe. Amen. For everything that we have need of comes from him. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. On the earth, there was the earthly type, that tabernacle. Amen. Which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, now, why can we have confidence today? Because once again, the sin problem has already been dealt with. When Jesus hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. He purchased our redemption with his own blood. Amen. So the sin problem has already been dealt with. The problem is that people perish for lack of knowledge. The world does not understand what has actually taken place on their behalf, what God did for them, until they come to that revelation or that knowledge of what has actually taken place for them. Amen. They continue to live blindly in sin and transgression. Amen. Separated from the life of God. And so the good news is that God took the initiative. God himself, amen, through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, took upon himself a body. Amen. In the form of sinful Adam, amen, yet without sin. And the Bible says God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Hallelujah. Amen. So my sins were taken care of at the cross. Hallelujah. I needed to come to an understanding of that, that realization that my sins have already been dealt with. My responsibility is to repent, turn to God, amen, and confess my sins. And if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Why am I saying this? Because this is foundational to everything. You have to have your faith, your confidence in what Christ has done and not in your ability to be holy. And when you're in right standing and right relationship with God, you will live holy. Because the Spirit of the Lord dwells within. And he leads us into all truth. In the Old Testament, the people could only draw near with their lips. But today, we can come right into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Today, we can draw near with full confidence, amen, in the promises of God, and that He receives us into His presence. If you're going to receive from God, you must have confidence in God. The reason why a lot of people do not pray is because they don't believe their prayers are effective. They don't believe their prayers are being heard. Are you hearing me? If we are really walking by faith, faith means I believe God and God's promises, and I believe that I can come, amen, just the way I am, amen, into His presence. Because of what Jesus did on my behalf. The Holy Spirit was given unto us, amen, to convict us when we sin, not to condemn us, but to convict us. So we become aware that we've sinned, and then to point us to the solution. It's always Jesus, amen. Turn to the Lord. Never turn away, turn to the Lord. There's your answer. There's your forgiveness right there. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict us so that He can restore us. The devil comes to accuse us, to condemn us. He wants to remind you of what you did so He can point an accusation, a finger of accusation against you and say, "Look what they did." But Jesus has already taken care of the problem of sin. So instead of listening to that voice of condemnation, I immediately turn to my Savior Jesus and I confess to my Lord. Amen. I say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me." And He does. And then you need to tell that devil to take a hike. Amen. To quit to speak to the hand because I'm not listening. You don't have an audience. Resist him and he will flee from you. Because what he's after is your faith. He doesn't want you to have confidence in approaching God. Because he's afraid of what would happen if you start believing God. When you start believing God, you start receiving from God. And when you start receiving from God, it's bad news for the devil. Because God called us to destroy the works of the devil. So we come to him for provision, amen, to be equipped. He gives us the authorization. He gives us authority as sons and daughters, amen, by virtue of the new birth. But then he gives us the dunamis, amen, the dynamic working power of his Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen, so that then we can operate in authority and in power. Because the enemy understands authority. Mm-hmm. And legalities. That's why he's trying to get you to sin, so that he can have an excuse then to accuse you. That's why we resist him. That's why we don't yield to temptation. Amen. Because he's just going to beat up on you afterwards. But when we make a mistake or when we sin, what do? We immediately run to Jesus. Do not delay. Immediately go to Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm not going out and committing adultery, but I do make mistakes and I do sin. Amen. What do? I immediately run to Jesus. There are things that we do. Thoughts that we entertain too long. Things that we slip out of our mouth that we shouldn't say. Come on, somebody. What do? We run to the Lord. We run to Jesus and confess that. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we settle it right there. Why? Because it's already been settled in heaven. It's not going to be held against you anymore. You know what the devil does? He keeps a collection. He remembers everything you did because he enticed you to do it. So he keeps his collection. And the next time you make a mistake or do something wrong, what does he do? He brings up all the stuff. And he heaps it on you. Why? Because he wants to destroy your faith, your confidence in God. So we got to quit looking at that and at that dude. And look to Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, that you make me righteous, that I am righteous in you today." What you believe is what you will receive, and what you receive will determine how you live your life. So Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near as something that we must be deliberate about. Draw near with in full assurance of faith. How can we do that? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Amen. That's speaking about the blood, amen, of Christ. Now, even as the children of Israel were instructed to put the blood above the doorposts, amen, and the lintels, right? So God also expects us to, by faith, believe that the blood of Christ also covers us and protects us from death. Amen? And so our confidence is in what God has already accomplished and what God has promised us. God has promised us forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. A lot of Christians live in condemnation because they don't accept what Christ has done for them. A lot of Christians are listening to the wrong voice that's telling them you have to perform to a certain level before God will accept you. You have to reach a certain level of righteousness in yourself before God will hear you. If my confidence is in me, yes, I will be condemned by myself very quickly. That's why Paul said, I have to turn away from me. I find in me no good thing. Amen. I put no confidence in my flesh. But he put his full confidence in Christ and Christ alone. You see, if we have confidence in God, then God's will be accomplished in our life. But if the enemy can get us into condemnation, if we're listening to the wrong voice and we're not receiving the promise of God by faith, then he can beat us down and sometimes even defeat people from accomplishing their God-given mission on the earth. There are many people who just feel, well, I tried Christianity, it didn't work for me. That's the problem. You don't try Christianity. Either you're a Christian or you're not. I'm a Christian because Christ is in me. Amen. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And I don't put my confidence in my ability to be faithful. Because my ability to be faithful is never going to be sufficient enough. Under the law, people would try to do enough good to hopefully earn or merit heaven. But the law was not given for us to live perfectly. The law was to show us that we aren't perfect and that we can't live up to God's standard and that we've all fallen short of God's glory. And the only hope that we have is to cast our poor souls down at the Savior's feet and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when we receive the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and the love of God comes within your heart, you begin to love Jesus. And now you want to live a life that honors him. Amen. Because you love him. Amen. Not because I'm afraid of getting in trouble. It's because I don't want to grieve the one that I love. We walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, this speech about the washing, the sprinkling, you know, and the washing of the body was symbolic of what Christ has accomplished. There was these ceremonial washings that the priest would have to undergo, you know, before he was qualified to go into the most holy place. And, you know, they had this laver that had brass mirrors in it. And, you know, the Bible says that we are to be washed by the word. Amen. By the cleansing of the word. Amen. And so what would happen is they would be able to see a reflection of themselves in this basin. Amen. As they washed, they could see themselves as they're looking into the law, the perfect law of liberty, into the word. Amen. And it's the word of God that it brings light and revelation as to who we are and where we stand. Amen. If things aren't right, it will reveal that. Amen. I use that example a lot, but when you get up in the morning, right, hopefully you go to the mirror and check things out before you go out into the world, right? Because that mirror will tell you a lot about what's going on. Amen. So if you see yourself the way you really are, you can do something about it, all right, and be presentable to the world. So the word of God is like that. It brings a revelation, an understanding of where we are and who we are and where we stand. and what God has promised to us. So our bodies being washed with pure water, our bodies talks about our outward life or the way that we live our lives. It's the blood, amen, that sprinkles upon the heart, if you will, to sanctify us, amen. But our bodies also to be washed in the Word of God. Our lives are to be cleansed. Remember, Jesus spoke about this in John 15:3. He says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you." He's talking to his disciples. He said, "The word I spoke to you has cleansed you." Amen. And then in John 13:10, Jesus replied and said, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean." Amen. Because Peter's saying, "Well, Lord, wash all of me." He says, "You don't need to have the entire washing, but in the world, you're going to get your feet dirty." Amen. So he says, "And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." So he was speaking, we believe, of Judas, right? But he was saying that this word that I speak to you, there's a cleansing element to the power of God's word. Amen. Now, what word are we talking about? We're talking about the word that is released by the Spirit of God. It has cleansing power in it. Amen. And it releases us from the filthiness of this world. It separates us unto God. Hallelujah. So everything that we need is first found in God. And we need to understand this because sometimes we live double lives. We live our church life, our Christian life, and then we live our work life, our secular life. But God wants to be incorporated into everything. Amen. God wants to bring heaven to earth. Amen. And he wants to live in and through our lives wherever we find ourselves. Amen. That's true Christianity. It's a walk in the Spirit with Jesus. Amen. Being salt and light, being influencers in this world. Amen. It's not about going to church on Sunday and being a Christian on Sunday. Amen. And then I do my other thing on Monday. That's been a deception that many people have fallen into, a trap. Everything we need is found in God. And God's presence can be likened to a river. Amen. A river of life. When we talk about the river of God, we're really referring to his presence. Amen. In Revelation 22:1, it says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb." And again, we have to remember that Jesus was our forerunner, our great high priest, who went before us, amen, having obtained eternal salvation, having shed his blood, amen, and taken care of the sin problem. Then he took, as the high priest, that blood, and himself he went into the most holy place in heaven itself, and he sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat in the presence of the Father. Come on. And that blood speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries out for mercy. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. There is blood, amen, on the altar on our behalf. Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." What? This hope. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And that's a whole different teaching. Melchizedek was a character that showed up to Abraham, and Abraham tied to him, and it says he had no beginning of days for another time. But in the order of Melchizedek, Jesus is our eternal high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. On behalf of the saints. So we have a high priest. Amen. An elder brother in heaven representing us to the Father. Hallelujah. So call on the name of the Lord. Don't let the devil put you into condemnation to beat you down because he's after your faith. He wants to rob you of your confidence because a person without confidence is a person that's easily defeated. He wants to sow hopelessness. The enemy wants to sow hopelessness. God wants you to be hopeful as you put your hope in him. Now, there are certain things that we need on earth that can only come from the presence of Almighty God. Salvation, healing. By the way, if you got healed today, you need to tell somebody. Hallelujah. Salvation, healing, and what? Deliverance. Yeah, that comes from God. Hallelujah. So we, as God's people, need to access the throne of our Father by way of the blood of the new covenant, which gives us confident assurance, gives us faith, gives us hope that God is actually listening to us. Because the sin problem has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So now we can come with confidence and receive all that we have need of to help us. All the mercy, all the grace that we need comes from Him. There are certain things, guys, that must come from the presence of the Lord. In Ezekiel 47, remember that? God showed the prophet Ezekiel a vision of an ever-increasing river flowing out from the temple of God. This river, I believe, will also be geographically located in Israel, in that area that will flow out during the millennial reign of Christ, and it will cause everything it touches to flourish. Now, in Ezekiel's vision, he's seeing this river flowing out from where? From under the throne of God. And everywhere that the river goes, it's teeming with life. Amen? It's life-giving. But there are also these salt areas that are on the outside of the river. And these are things, you know, where salt is, things are not able to grow. And, you know, you have people who love the presence of God, people who take advantage of the opportunity to come into the presence of God. Amen. And they flourish spiritually. Amen. And then you have other people that they may dabble, they may dip their foot in once in a while into that water. Amen. But they're hanging out in the salty, patchy areas. Amen. On the external. And so there's no real good fruit there because they're not really in God's presence. They don't abide in Christ. Amen. Because apart from Him, we can do. So God invites us to come, but we have to take advantage of the opportunity to come and receive all that we have need of. And God doesn't want us just a little dab will do you, amen? He doesn't want us just to dip our toe into the water. He wants us to go in for a plunge. And I find that life is much easier when I go for the plunge than when I just sample it. Because we need God's power. We need His presence, amen, in order to overcome ourselves. Sometimes I am my own worst enemy. So today, we know that God dwells in our bodies, amen? And therefore, the stream of His blessing should be flowing out of us and to others around us. John 7:37, we have this on our sign, by the way. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, what? Let him come to me and drink." He is the fountain of living waters. Amen. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God wants His resurrection life in us and flowing out of us. If we are filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, our lives will be an influence on those around us. You and I are incapable of changing anybody. We can make people conform to what we want. We can make our kids obey. Amen. But how many would agree you'd much rather have your child have a heart that wants to obey than that's being forced to obey? And when we're in right standing with God, we'll have a heart that wants to obey. Why? Because He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. As we abide in Him, amen, His desires become our desires. His will becomes our desire. We want to do the will of God when we are abiding in Him. God wants His people on fire for Him. God wants His people abiding in Him. God wants His people taking advantage, amen, of the opportunity that He has opened for us and that we can now come with confidence into the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And everything we have need of comes from Him. God's desire for His church is fruitfulness. Ezekiel 47:9, it says, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Therefore will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes." Everything will what? live wherever the river goes. What we need is the river of God. What we need is the presence of God, because where the presence of God is, there is life, there is healing. Amen. That represents God's Holy Spirit. And the fish represent humanity. How do we know that? In Matthew 4:19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Holy Spirit quickens dead sinners, sanctifies the soul, heals the sick, raises the dead, gives strength to the weak. Again, in John 7:37, Jesus said, "What? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Hallelujah. You know, if you hang out with somebody, you get to know them after a while. If we're spending time with God, we'll get to know God. God doesn't want us just learning about him, but he wants us to know him. God wants to share his heart with us. God wants us to know who he really is, not what we have maybe imagined in our own mind or what we've been told by somebody else. God wants us to know what he's really like. And he will reveal himself to those who want to know. Those who will seek will find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. So it's one thing about learning about God and another thing to actually know God. But this is eternal life, that we may know him, the true God in eternal life. Jesus Christ, amen, whom he has sent. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Every river needs a riverbed, doesn't it? And where does a river flow? It flows in the low places. God gives his grace to the humble. God gives his grace to those who know that they need him. Those who realize that their life is now in him, and in him I live. Apart from him is death. So we can dry up and wither as a believer if we don't continue in him, because he is the one that refreshes us. He is the one that feeds us. He's the one that sustains us. Amen. And so my responsibility is to use that access. Amen. The blood. And come with confidence into the throne of my Father. My responsibility is to come and drink, to come and eat, to dine at his table, if you will, so that my life is filled with Jesus. Some people wait around and hope something will happen. God says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." So that means that I need to take the initiative. And that means that I need to tell my body what to do. I need to take control of my soul, and I need to command my soul to bow before the Lord. I need to tell my soul, amen, that you are going to pray, that you are going to get out of bed, that you are going to go to work. God gives us charge of ourselves, doesn't he? And he also gives us the ability by the power of his Holy Spirit to have a supernatural self-control too. So that I can control myself when I'm being tempted. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say no. And the stronger we are spiritually, the easier it is to overcome sin. Because it's by the ability that God supplies that we overcome the world. It's not me having a strong will and just trying to do better. I hear a lot of people when they say, "Well, I hope to see you again." "Oh, I'll try." How about just do? Say, "Lord, thank you for the grace. I'm going to do what you tell me to do." Are you hearing me, somebody? Because we got to give ourselves an excuse. "I'll try." That means, well, if you're doing it, you're probably not going to be back. Because the enemy will work on your soul. He'll work in that soul realm, amen? He'll give you all kinds of excuses. He'll make you feel tired. Whatever, you know. But we're not to be led by our soul, but by the Spirit of God, amen, in us. And my soul is to be submitted to the Spirit of God in me. My soul is to be under the control or the command of the Holy Spirit of God in me, as my spirit is in partnership with Him. Amen. So the adult is the Lord in my life. Amen. And from there, I am to control my life. God gives us the ability to do that. But God's looking for a riverbed. He's looking for someone to flow through. The wisdom of God, the power of God, the provision of God. All these things come from the presence of the Lord. They're in the river. Amen. Everywhere that the river flows, there's life. You know, in John 5:39, I'm going to read this again because there's a lot in this. But he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." And I like what Dick said last week about, you know, the word, somebody's being a spoke, but the Lord, the substance is Christ. Amen. And everything spokes out of the Lord. Amen. And some people are so focused on the text itself that they don't connect with the God of the text. The text is to reveal the God of the text. Amen. Just like if you were to write a letter to someone. Amen. You're trying to communicate your heart through written words. But there's a big difference between a letter and being with that person in person. God wants us in that type of relationship where we'll know if He said that or not. We know His heart. We know His nature. We know His character. We know what God would not do, and we know what God would do because we are personally acquainted with Him. And therefore, if I hear a word that does not agree with who He is and what He would do, what He would say, it's not from God. I'm sorry, prophet. A lot of people running around calling themselves prophets today. Self-appointed. There are true prophets, but there's a lot of false prophets today. And we need to know God personally so that we will be able to discern if it's a word from Him or not. If you know God's voice already, come on, somebody. When you hear a message, you will know whether or not that's from the Lord or not. So God, help us. We want to know You. Some people are constantly learning about God, but unwilling to fully surrender to God. This is another thing. People are adding God to their life. God, you know, people are looking for self-improvement. A few tips for a better life. Are you hearing me, somebody? In other words, we want the principles of God that will help me have a better life in this world. But do you want the God of the principle? Some people, they're all about Scripture, but they don't really know the God of the Scripture. And so they're legalistic. And a legalist will destroy people, amen, because there's no love. It's loveless devotion. And of course, liberalism is the other extreme of that, isn't it? It's irresponsible freedom. God gives me control of myself. Amen. I may have liberty in the Lord, but I am to discipline myself. Amen. And there are certain things that I should not allow in my life, because if I'm walking in love, I'm not going to allow something in my life that's going to cause a brother or sister to stumble. Even if I don't believe it's a sin to me, if it could cause somebody else to stumble, it's not worth it. I want an encounter with God. How about you? I don't want to just learn about God. I really want to know God. And through the written word, we can come to know the living word. Amen. We don't underestimate the power of the Scripture. I mean, the Scripture is our manual. Amen. We should devour this word. Amen. But this is so that the Holy Spirit, amen, can then bring that word to our remembrance. Amen. As I shared before, it's just like putting, you know, the information on the hard drive, the heart, amen? And when you need it, amen, the Holy Spirit will bring that to your remembrance. And sometimes God will just drop something in there, amen, that you never thought of. Don't you love it? When I was a youth leader starting out, we used to have these rap sessions. I've told some of you this before. We'd sit around circles. And I just say, go ahead and ask any question you want. That was dangerous. But I was in a place where I wanted to learn to know God's voice. And I wanted to learn myself. And so I found it amazingly that when I would just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me, and they would fire off some of these really complex questions, that I would actually get revelation right there and then, something I'd never learned before, that God dropped in, amen, because he wanted to answer that question that person had. And then I began to realize, and I began to recognize God's voice, because I was put on the spot, and I put myself on the spot. And I said, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to learn as much as I can. But there were certain things that God wanted me to go away, amen, and study up and learn, amen. But many times it was just something that God would give me right there and then. You know, Jesus said, don't premeditate in your heart what you're going to say if you're brought before councils, before men, amen. But trust in the Lord that he's going to give you what you need in that hour. But in your heart, sanctify the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need some help. I need some backup here. I need some wisdom. I need an answer. And it was amazing that many of the questions they had were questions that I had, and God answered them right in that context. Through prayer, thanksgiving, praise, we enter the realm of the Holy Spirit. Through prayer, thanksgiving, praise, we enter the realm of the Holy Spirit. This is the river of God. This is God's presence. And it's important that we press in until we get past ourselves. Guys, listen, this is the only thing that works, is getting past ourselves. Ever been in a situation where you've been in a Bible study and it was just dry and lifeless? Oh, theologically, it was correct. Amen? I mean, it was good theology in that Bible study, but it was dead. Why? Because the key is to connect with God of the Scripture, to encounter God, to know God personally through the Word, amen, to come to know the living Word. And the Holy Spirit will reveal the living Word through the written Word. But if we don't have a heart that's hungry for God himself, and we're just looking to get more information so we'll appear smarter to people, or we can win a Bible debate, we're in it for the wrong reason. Because knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. And God is love. And we want to know this God. Amen. We want to know him who is love. We want to move in him, walk in him. Amen. We want to draw near to God, because in his presence is everything that we have need of in this world. And we come before him with prayer and thanksgiving and praise. You know, I've had people say, and I know we can go even further with this, and I plan to, amen, Lord willing. But I've had people say, well, I don't like going to your church because the services are too long. You know, guys, sometimes if we take the time to pre-prepare, to be make sure that we're prayed up, we're ready, amen, when we come, we can enter into that place a lot faster. Amen? In some cases, we're so programmed. Well, we have our three courses, our offering, our prayer, our benediction, whatever it is, you know. Our little sermonette, and everything is so programmed that God's saying, well, when am I going to be allowed to be in charge here, you know? And so we want God. How many are hungry for God? You want to encounter God, amen? So take the time to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're so used to this instant fix, instances. Man, I mean, some places, like in China, the underground church there, man, they're like 8-12 hour services, you know. They're getting blasted in the Holy Spirit. And here we can't even get out of bed sometimes. Come on, somebody. It's past a half hour. I'm about done now. Well, if you encounter God, you're like, more, Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. If we're put into it, amen, we'll receive back. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth first. You want to encounter with God? Amen. Start praising Him. Start giving thanks to God. Amen. And breakthrough. Get past yourself. Amen. And get into the realm of the Holy Spirit where there is life and peace in Him. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you find yourself wanting to be in that place with Him. And when you come to church, you're expecting to be in that place with Him even. Amen. Because that's where life is. If it's just a service, we'll get bored. It'll be dry and dusty. And was like, man, I just want to go home and take an aspirin now. And I'm not talking about just being loud, because I've been in some loud services that were just as dead. They were shouting and spitting all over you, but there's nothing happening. The key is that we encounter God, that we connect with God in the Spirit. And because everything we have need of is in Him. Hallelujah. If you will seek Him above everything else, put God number one in your life, go after Him with all that you have within you, a holy passion to pursue and seek God once again, amen, and discover the goodness, the mercy, the grace of God that is beyond anything this world can offer you. You'll find that God is much greater than football, amen. God is much greater than any kind of form of entertainment this world can give you. The greatest delight will be the Lord Himself, and that I might know Him. Taste and see. The problem is that we don't worship deep enough. We don't pray through. We are outer court many times. We just, oh, now I lay me down to sleep. Are you hearing me? God wants us to come in to a deeper realm of the Spirit. The river, amen, has different levels. Hallelujah. But it has to do with your willingness and your desire. What you desire and what you treasure is what you're going to pursue. Isn't that true? If you really treasure God, you'll pursue God. You want to go beyond just the kiddie pool. Amen. You want to get into the deep end. I want to graduate from the kiddie pool, amen, and get into the deep end. But we have to have a hunger. There has to be a thirst. There has to be a recognition that this world is never going to satisfy you like Jesus. That He is the greatest desire, the greatest delight to know the Lord. Hallelujah. We've talked to Brother Cooper. We've talked about back in the day, and some of you guys, you all know what it was to live in that party lifestyle. Amen. Amen. We thought we were having a good time for a while, for a season, until it comes back to bite you. And I tell you, when I had that encounter with Jesus and my life was shifted and changed, and it's all of a sudden, man, I find that there's no greater joy than being with Jesus. Some people don't understand that because they haven't been there. You understand? A lukewarm Christian is a Christian generally that has come into lukewarmness and been there all the time. They might have, you know, made a decision for Jesus, and then they went to a church that's lukewarm, and all they've known is being lukewarm. They don't know what it is to really be on fire for God and to be in the river of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? So to them, that's their normal. But we've got to break out of the normal if it's abnormal. Because true Christianity is power, amen, in the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. True Christianity is not in word only, but in power, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. God is a living God, and He wants to manifest Himself in the earth realm through people that are hungry enough to seek Him and call upon Him until heaven comes down, the glory of God comes down, amen, and miracles break out everywhere. Hallelujah. And then you find, man, this is fun. Now we're having fun. You know, I enjoy being with you today, and God is with us. God has more. Would you agree with me that God wants to do more? Are you willing to commit yourself to seeking the Lord and really crying out together as corporately as a church, amen, that we might have more? A greater manifestation of His glory and His power in our midst. Because that's what changes hearts and minds. Amen. That's when people come in, they say, you know what? This is not the kind of church I'm used to. Just recently I talked to somebody. They said, man, I'm just not used to this kind of church. But they knew something was different. They knew there was some power. Amen. And that's what people need, is they need the Lord. They don't need religion. They don't need a church service. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Jesus. Let's call on Jesus. Guys, what we sow in the Spirit, eventually will we reap. But don't become weary and pressing in and getting, amen, into that place with God and calling for heaven to come to earth. Amen. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, the appointed time of the Father, He's going to release it back to us. Amen. We are having the mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we are pleading. Amen. God, send the river. Amen. Send the rain. Hallelujah upon us. Because the world around us is dying and going to hell, and they need something authentic, amen? And they need a people that are on fire for Jesus, that we're going to be salt and light, we're going to be influences in our society, amen, and where we live. But we can't do it apart from Him. It's by the power of God that we are who we are. It's by His grace. We don't need intellectualism. We need the Spirit of God. And an intellect that's submitted to the Spirit of God. Let's just praise Him. Hallelujah.